The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
This morning's reading is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The word of God for the people of God.
Kamala Harris and the Democrats are the worst kind of people ever. Or to be an equal opportunity offender, Donald Trump and the Republicans are the worst kind of people ever. These words express the sentiment of how many people think and feel, but how about another arena of cultural debate? A biological male competes as a female boxer, wins an Olympic medal. Some say this is progress, others an injustice. Or a woman terminates her pregnancy because, after all, my body, my choice. Now, what's this have to do with all that? What's this text have to do with all of that cultural stuff? That's a question I'm borrowing and adapting from theologian Christopher West. Hang in there. But let's bring this a little closer to home. What about the person in the prime of their life who has power and position and prestige, who on the outside has a great image, but inwardly is decaying? Or my friend and mentor Paul in California, who's in his 80s, who's served in the same local church for decade upon decade, who is beginning to lose his eyesight. He no longer can read and research like he used to, and so in the eyes of many, he's lost cultural value. He's lost cultural capital because he's not as productive. He doesn't have as much influence or power. Or what about your neighbor across the street who doesn't take care of his yard, who always is parking in the wrong spot, who's always leaving things out and saying insensitive things to your children? Or the coworker who's not keeping their end of the bargain, or your roommate who leaves the dishes out or doesn't pick up after themselves? I ask again, what's this text have to do with not just all that cultural stuff, but what does this text have to do with my neighbor or my profession or that person in a different season of life than me? Now, I'm not even a couple minutes into my sermon. Let's just acknowledge what's happening right now in the room. First, you're all listening. And second, you're probably a bit nervous, but hang in there. If we haven't met yet, my name is Aaron, and I have the joy of serving here as part of the team at Coram Deo. And we just heard Genesis 1, 26 through 28 read, a text all about what it means for humans to be made in the image of God. But what does this text have to do with all that stuff I just mentioned? Well, short answer, everything. See, if you get the image of God wrong, everything else falls apart. And that's what I need you to understand this morning. If you get the image of God wrong, everything else falls apart. I want you to see how all that other stuff is just simply downstream from rightly understanding and comprehending Genesis 1, 26 through 28. If you don't get the image of God right, everything else falls apart. And how so? Well, all our modern debates are fundamentally debates about anthropology. Now, anthropology is a word I need you to understand. It means very simply the study of what it means to be human. Every single debate we are having today in our culture is a debate about anthropology. What is a human? And the Bible's answer to that question, what is a human, is summed up in this phrase, image of God. And so, if you get the image of God wrong, everything else falls apart. Now, let me show you this. I want to show you this by taking you on a journey that's going to consist of five movements. Just five. Ready? Declaration of Independence, an ancient story, a modern pop song, COVID-19, and Gollum. Now, don't worry about writing any of these down. I'll make sure to pause and let you know when we transition from one movement to the next. So first, movement one, the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. So says the first line of the Declaration. But is it evident that all human beings are created equal? I mean, Aristotle and the ancients didn't think so. It doesn't even seem like the founding fathers really thought so. After all, many of them owned slaves. So how? How is it self-evident to us as human beings that we are all created equal? Well, as Andrew Wilson points out in his amazing book, Remaking the World, that famous line in the Declaration originally read, "We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable." But along came Benjamin Franklin, who crossed it out and replaced it with self-evident, as in we human beings have figured this out. As in we human beings have figured out that we're all equal, and that's the game we've been playing. That we think human equality and human dignity is a self-evident reality. But human equality and human dignity, values and virtues our culture rightly celebrates, are not man's idea. They come from the God of the Bible, and specifically, Genesis 1, where the God who is Father, Son, and Spirit says, verse 26, "Let us make man." That word man there is the word for humanity. "Let us make humanity in our image after our likeness." See, every time you hear someone rightly denounce any of the isms that plague our culture, racism, sexism, ageism, ableism, anytime someone rightly denounces those actions where one human being is taking advantage of another human being, they are demonstrating the belief that humans are made in the image of God, even if they don't fully know or understand it. These are not self-evident claims. Leading intellectual Yuval Noah Harari says it like this: human rights, like God in heaven, are just a story we've invented. They are not an objective reality. They're not a biological fact about Homo sapiens. Take a human being, cut them open, look inside. You'll find heart, kidneys, neurons, DNA, but you won't find rights. The only place you find rights is in the stories that we have invented and spread. And just so we're clear, Harari is one of the leading intellectual thinkers of our day, and he says there's really no logical basis for treating someone with equality and dignity unless you have a story. Which leads us to our second movement, an ancient story. See, remember, if you get the image of God wrong, everything else falls apart. And for the ancient Israelites, much of Genesis 1 would have been shocking. But perhaps the most shocking is the notion that every human being is made in God's image. See, Genesis 1 is not the only ancient story about images and creation. Think about it like this. Today, ideas tend to trend on social media. We say this or that thing is trending on Twitter or TikTok or whatever. And for the ancients, one of the ideas that was trending during that time was the image of God. Every culture had an idea or a proposition of who or what was made in the image of the god or the gods. In one of those ancient stories, talking about this trend was the Enuma Elish. It's the Babylonian account of creation, and in this ancient story, humans are created as the grunt workers or slave workers to do the bidding of the gods. There's no sense of dignity in this story. And in one part of the Enuma Elish, it says this: "The god Anshar made Anu, his offspring, his equal. Then Anu begot his own image, Nudamud, Marduk's father." Now just simply notice, this is one example among many, that it's only the god or the gods who are made in the image of God. This was the cultural trend of the day. Only the powerful, only the elite were considered image of God. But along comes the Hebrew Bible, along comes the one true story, which for the rest are just simply a parody, to say that every single human, from the poorest of the poor, to the disabled, to the terminally ill, is made in God's image. Every Babylonian, every Assyrian, every Egyptian, every Persian, image of God. And every Buddhist, and every Muslim, and every Hindu, and every atheist, and every agnostic, every single person, image of God. And I can't stress this enough, how uniquely this is a Judeo-Christian idea. Everyone else is simply borrowing from the Bible. Or to put it in the language of an author, I can't remember who originally said it, our culture commits cosmic plagiarism. So maybe, just maybe, the way I think and talk about Kamala Harris and Donald Trump and the people who support them needs to change. Or the way I think about and talk about the neighbor who drives me nuts, or the coworker who drives me nuts, or the roommate who drives me nuts needs to change. What's this have to do with all that? Well, perhaps more than we thought, because if you get the image of God wrong, everything else falls apart. From ancient Babylon to the Garden of Eden to the Declaration of Independence, we're all confronted with this question: who is the image of God? And the answer is every single human being. And thus, every single human being deserves dignity, not just some, not just the people I like, and not just the people who vote like me and agree with me. Every single human being has and deserves dignity. But this takes us to movement three, a modern pop song. Now first, notice verse 27 says that God made humanity, male and female, he created them. Male and female, in the image of God. That's God's idea. But what's a modern pop song have to do with that? Now, full disclosure, I don't keep up with modern pop music. I don't know who the cool bands are. And this used to bother me quite a bit. People would ask me, hey, Aaron, what kind of music do you like to listen to? And I would have this like inward panic of trying to think of something on the spot of what to say. Nowadays, I really don't care. Nowadays, I just say, you know, David Sunman's latest rap album release. Or some nerdy theological podcast, and they just look at me weird. But someone on our staff team, who will go unnamed, said, and I think they meant this as a compliment, which is how I'm going to process it. They said, Aaron, you know just enough pop culture to be dangerous in the pulpit. Which I thought, Cormdale staff, be careful of what you say. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say or do can and will be used as a sermon illustration. But one pop song from my childhood was the song Such Great Heights from the band The Postal Service. A song I recently learned was number 27 on the Rolling Stones top 100 list at one point. Came out in the early 2000s. And if you heard it play, you would probably recognize some of the upbeat kind of techno vibes that are in the song. But what's important is that one of the verses in this song says this. And I have to speculate that God himself did make us into corresponding shapes like puzzle pieces from the clay. Think about that for a moment. Millions have sung these lyrics. Lyrics that echo Eden, echoing God's design from Genesis 1 and 2. Male and female in his image. And it's only been about two decades since this song was released. And in a couple decades, words like these went from being normal to narrow, from being exclusive to now even dangerous. See, the core of the biblical story is that we are made in God's image, yet as God's image bearers, we have not been faithful to the God whose image we are made in. And so when we go against God's design, whether that be in gender or a million other ways, we sin and need to be saved. But the core of the cultural story is that I have not been faithful to the image that I want to curate for myself. And the human salvation journey is to discover and then demand that people dignify the image that I create for myself. And it's an image rooted in how I feel. And how I feel is my right. And if you disagree, that's an injustice. Therefore, this is important. The body becomes the tool for expressing your demanded and curated image. But the question we should all be asking is this: is that story true and good and beautiful? Every one of us is living in some kind of story. Stories give us meaning. James K.A. Smith says that we are all existential sharks, meaning that we have to keep moving in some sort of story to have meaning. So is the story you're living in a story of truth and goodness and beauty? I have no doubt that the story you're living in is sincere, but there is a world of difference between sincerity and truth and goodness and beauty. And it's truth, not sincerity, that will set us free, to quote Jesus. See, I hope you're beginning to see how this, being made in the image of God, has everything to do with all that. From the way we engage in politics to the Olympics and issues of gender, if you get the image of God wrong, everything else falls apart. And like Genesis 1:27 tells us, we are all made in the image of God as either male or female. And this is not just God's arbitrary design, it's God's beautiful design, something to celebrate and not be ashamed of. Christopher West, a theologian, puts it like this: ponder this for a moment. If the unity and diversity of the sexes is a sign in this world of our call to union with God, and if there is an enemy who wants to separate us from God, where do you think he's going to aim his most potent arrows? If we want to know what is most sacred in this world, all we need to do is look at what is most violently profaned. Is there any more contested ground than the human body, or how we view the body, and who is telling the truest story of the body? And might that be more than the shifting opinions of an ever-changing culture? Might that be the same deceiver still telling the same sort of lies? See, if you get the image of God wrong, everything else falls apart. But this leads to our fourth movement, COVID-19. Now, what were you doing 4 years ago? See, going through COVID-19 in California, in a barely 1,000 square foot house with exactly three kids. About 1,000 square feet, exactly three kids. That was an adventure. We couldn't really do anything. You guys were all free. When I think about COVID-19, another key image related to another key idea related to the image of God comes up. See, there was all these fundamental human things that we could not do during the lockdown. We could hardly gather. Our vocations shifted. We were often isolated. Community life was affected. Work and vocation life was affected. And as God's image bearers, we are meant for community and relationship. This is fundamental to the image of God. That's why the text says God created them, plural, in his image. The image of God is a we before it's a me. Yes, you individually are made in God's image, but collectively, as human beings, we are God's image. They go together. But look again what the text says, 28, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, what does it mean to have dominion, or as some translations say, to rule? Well, think about it like this. In the classic Disney's The Lion King, remember when King Mufasa introduces Simba to his future destiny? And James Earl Jones says, "Look, Simba, everything the light touches is your kingdom." And Simba goes, "This is all mine." But Mufasa has to explain that the kingdom is not his to exploit, it's his to care for. When Simba's confused, he says, "I thought a king can do whatever he wants." Mufasa explains that in order to actually rule rightly, it's not about doing whatever you want. It's about stewardship and blessing and caring for what has been entrusted to you. See, the idea to rule and have dominion, yes, is kingly, royal language, but not as Israel's neighbors defined it and not as our culture defines it. It speaks of partnering with God's, as God's image bearers, with God under his rule and reign. And of course, God would be much more efficient in getting his stuff done in the world without us. But apparently, evidently, efficiency is not God's highest value. Affection and love are. God loves partnering with his human image bearers to accomplish his purposes in the world. And this is for every single human being. Not just those who are in the prime of their life, any and all ages. That the image of God means that we all have purpose and destiny. And as long as you have breath in your lungs, God is not done with you. So what does this text have to do with all that? It turns out quite a lot. If you get the image of God wrong, everything else falls apart. Now, we've covered a lot of ground. But whether it's the Declaration of Independence or modern pop songs or your neighbor across the street, the image of God is all over. But the image of God is not what it's supposed to be. And this leads us to movement 5, Gollum. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Lord of the Rings, we have a discipleship course you can sign up for in the back after the gathering. But the only thing you really need to know about Gollum is that Gollum is a deformed creature from what he used to be. Why? Well, to use some biblical language, because of his sin, because of his sinful pursuit after this one ring. This pursuit has deformed him from what he used to be and what he was intended to be, and the same is true for us. The temptation that led the first humans to sin is the same temptation we face every day. To give a quick preview of a few weeks from now, Genesis 3, that temptation was, you will be like God. And the ironic and tragic thing is, humans are already like God. We're made in his image. Adam and Eve get the image of God wrong in Genesis 3. They do not believe who God says they are, image of God, and instead believed a lie that you can be like God, and literally everything else in human history has fallen apart. And underneath that lie, you will be like God, is an undermining of trust in the God we call Father. See, all our sin can be traced back to this simple core thing of our desire to be our own little g God, rooted in a lack of trust in the goodness of God. We think we can take and accomplish and do things in our own hands, and this leads to sin. But sin, friends, is not original to the image of God. To be fully and truly human in the biblical sense is not to sin. Remember, your Bible starts in Genesis 1, not Genesis 3. Sin is an intruder. Sin is dehumanizing. Sin makes us less than the image of God humans that God intends us to be, yet we perpetually fail to be. And one way to think about the storyline of the Bible is this. I got this from the help of Pastor Justin. God the Father is rescuing his image bearers through the perfect image bearer, God the Son, so that by the power of God the Spirit, we might be conformed into his image. Or as the church father Athanasius said, he became what we are so that we could become what he is. Whereas 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Or Paul in another place says, Colossians 1, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Meaning, he is the only one who lives the truly human life, the perfect image of God life that God intended each of us to live, yet we perpetually fail to live. And Jesus lives that life on our behalf and dies on the cross on our behalf. And there he absorbs the collective weight of all the choices we make where we misrepresent God and so distort the image of God. And Jesus rises from the grave, conquering sin and death, offering us forgiveness and grace and the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we might be united. United to Christ, the perfect image of God. As you turn from sin and trust in Jesus, by grace through faith, we broken, sinful images of God can be united to Christ, the perfect image of God. Friends, Jesus is not simply just a moral teacher with some great ideas. Jesus is the perfect image of God who has the power to save, and Jesus, the perfect image of God, is our great high priest who empathizes and sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. See, friends, my story as an image bearer of God might be very different from your story. It probably is. I may have no experiential knowledge of your story or what it feels like to carry your story. But Jesus, the perfect image of God, he is a sufficient Savior with the power to save, and he's the great high priest who empathizes with your pain and your weaknesses. He, Jesus, the perfect image of God, was sought after to be killed. He was spit on, abused, and mocked, victimized on his last day, and shamed. And so, for the victim, for the one who feels like life is too much, for the one who is full of anxiety, for the one who has not been treated with the dignity that you deserve as an image bearer of God, Jesus, the perfect image of God, is a sufficient Savior and a great high priest who empathizes in your pain. Jesus was a single celibate man who lived his whole human life just like every other human, with a sex drive and every other good human impulse. He didn't float 2 inches off the ground. And Jesus lived his whole life as a single celibate man, and he called his life life and life to the full. And so for those who are single, for the one who is longing for that one, for the one whom for sexual desire and identity and longing is a painful part of your story, as an image bearer of God, Jesus, the perfect image of God, is a sufficient Savior. And Jesus, the perfect image of God, is the great high priest who is able to sympathize and your weaknesses. Jesus saw the worst of every single one of his disciples. From James and John, who were driven for power and prestige and image, but eventually were just exposed for who they really were. But Jesus came after them. And that same Jesus, the perfect image of God, chases down broken images of God who are attempting to create their own image, who are trying to hide behind and pretend behind that old image that they're just curating for the world to see, who on the inside might live with a sense of shame and regret, something that they carry in their story, yet his Spirit restores us and comforts us and conforms us into the image of his Son. Do you believe that? See, what's this have to do with all that? That's the question implicit in this teaching. That's the question that I started this teaching with and the question that I've sought to answer throughout. But let's make this very plain. If this story is true, and it is, and if this Jesus, the perfect image of God, has come to restore the image of God in me that I'm meant to be yet perpetually failed to be, and he has, then how I live changes. I am an image bearer united to the perfect image bearer of God. And you, Christian, are an image bearer united to the perfect image bearer. So, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump and those who support them are not enemies. They are image bearers of God. And my body is good. My biological sex is good. And it's not just good without a purpose. It's God's good design, beautiful design for a purpose sketched into the beauty of creation. And how I think and feel about someone who does not follow the Bible's ethics on these matters needs to be informed by the fact that they too are an image bearer of God. They too deserve dignity. And as long as you have breath in your lungs, God has a purpose and destiny for you, specifically in a culture that tends to belittle and disregard the elderly. Christians should be the first to say, no, you bear the image of God. And when someone like my friend Paul loses his eyesight and begins to lose productivity and his abilities diminish, he is not any less valuable. He bears the image of God. See, every single cultural debate we are having today is simply downstream from this one central idea, the image of God. If you don't get the image of God right, everything else falls apart. And the image of God goes to work not just in those cultural issues, but in your own personal life this afternoon. Your neighbor across the street who drives you nuts. The coworker who isn't holding up their end of the project. See, we Christians should be the first people, the first in line to show dignity. And showing dignity doesn't mean you have to agree with them. You can show someone dignity and still disagree with someone. Why? Because they are made in the image of God. Remember, the image of God has something to say regardless of your circumstance. So what's the image of God have to do with all that? Well, it turns out quite a lot. If you don't get the image of God right, then everything else falls apart. So therefore, church, as God the Father rescues sinful image bearers like us through the perfect image of God, God the Son, and as the Spirit of God conforms us more into that image, may we worship more wholeheartedly the triune God in whatever places and spaces God has called us to. Because if you don't get the image of God right, everything else falls apart. God, we come before you, grateful and honored, grateful and humbled that we are made in your image. God, thank you that you have given us the great privilege of just simply being here this morning to worship you, Jesus, the perfect image of God. Jesus, may our affections be deeply stirred to worship you more fully this morning. And God, would you help us as we live our lives throughout the week to recognize and see and understand that we are made in your image, and the person across the street and the person sitting next to me is as well. So shape us and mold us and conform us more deeply into your image, we pray. We pray these things in your name. Amen.